You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on The Cooligans, we are celebrating some of the Americans abroad that are crushing it. The McKennies, the Reynas, the Adamses, okay? So a lot to discuss, and we show a little bit of love and RIP to RBG.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Sal Zizzo of the San Diego Loyal. We talked to everything about podcasting, to having a coach like Landon Donovan. Why would you even listen to a guy like that? So much that and more today on The Cooligans!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with The Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go. Find the strength. That's going to be the theme of today's show.
That's right. Find the strength. Is it to put up with me? What is it exactly?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, man. Look, let's get going. Obviously, rough weekend for a lot of people. If you live in the United States of America or Earth.
By the way, evergreen sentence.
Okay, you could keep repeating this episode any time of the year, and people are gonna be like, you know what, it still holds up.
I think this is new. Oh no. No, I see the scores they're talking about.
Hello everybody, welcome to The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show on the earth.
That's right, and it's not just that, it also happens to be the gulliest.
That's right. On the earth and other planets as well.
That's right. Yo, if you're getting this on other planets, we gotta be the gulliest thing on that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Football TV is really expanding, right?
Isn't it like those radio waves just keep traveling? Like if you're like in another, Milky Way galaxy was the word I was looking for. If you're in another galaxy, like you're just listening to like 1930s radio and you're like, oh no, I hope that depression, I hope that solves itself.
People are listening to War of the Worlds and think aliens are attacking.
Yeah. And they're like, we didn't attack. We're right here.
we're here. Why are they slandering us?
Yo, they always got to blame us for their own issues.
But yes, look, a lot of things happening in the soccer world, but we can't start the show without addressing, obviously, the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
RBG.
For a lot of people, obviously, she helped shape what the country looks like today. A huge advocate for civil rights, women's rights, reproductive rights, and
just an absolute leader across the board. And shouts to NWSL, who a lot of the players and a lot of women obviously did, and a lot of men, but in particular, speaking of soccer, a lot of the NWSL players and women's national team players put out some really beautiful messages, just sort of honoring RGB.
Exactly.
RBG. Sorry.
The Notorious. Don't forget. But straight out of Brooklyn too.
That's man, right.
You love it.
That's where you get that attitude from. Yo. She was like, "Well, I'm not allowed to do what? How about I rise to the highest level of power and tell you what the rules are?"
Okay. Now you gotta listen to me, homie. Okay. So we're seeing a lot of photos and a lot of people sharing a lot of messages. But the one last year in 2019 at the She Believes Cup, there was a cool thing from Becky Sauerbrunn, who had worn she had put RBG as her name on the back of her jersey for one of the matches.
And that was the match. For context, like a lot of the players picked heroes to put on the back of their jersey, which was really cool.
Exactly. And and they sent Ruth Bader Ginsburg a women's national team kit, and she sent a note back just being really grateful. Like that's just one of the cool things that In her later years, she just became this sort of cult hero. You know what I mean? Like, and cult is not even accurate enough. I mean,
I get the point you're trying to make. Like, when you, it's like at first she wasn't allowed to do so many different things, and you know, like changes that she made it so that women could sign for mortgages without a man present, which is I mean, in my life I would have needed a woman present to sign any mortgage, because it'd be like, sorry, you have zero credit to speak of.
I'm not signing anything unless my mom is here, okay?
And also my wife, like, I need is my sister here? Why are you giving me documents? I mean, even our agent is a woman, my manager's a woman. Like, it's wild to think of a time where those things might not have been possible. And now, you know, I'm surrounded by all these powerful women, you know what I mean? And starting with my mom, who would hit me at any moment's notice, you know what I mean?
Sure. Your wife hits you a lot too.
Look, I mean, I don't want to throw her under the bus, but I'm a scared human being. But just my mom, starting
Alexis has to do some serious makeup before he gets on air.
I run into the cupboards a lot, folks. My wife is a very strong woman.
But no, man. Yeah, it's obviously a difficult time for a lot of people, and who knows what the next couple of weeks are going to look like until the election. But you know, that this is where we try to focus on you know, helping the world any way we can.
That's
and
right.
Also burying our heads in soccer and trying to
soccer's,
you know,
the best distraction. You're like, look, people are kicking the ball, I'm good. Let's just last for 7 hours like a baseball game
so that I do not have to confront the reality of what our world looks like. I mean, but at the very least, there is you know, when it comes to the American you know, the American abroad playing, right? I mean, this weekend was huge. Obviously, Gio Reyna getting his first Bundesliga goal, and just
which it seemed like he scored 100 goals already. All we do is see highlights. That was his first Bundesliga goal, which made him the second youngest American behind Christian Pulisic, Pulisic. Sorry.
Say it however you like. Yeah. Bro, he don't care. Okay.
CP. That's your name now.
And then also Weston McKennie getting the start and playing 90 minutes for Juventus.
For Andrea Pirlo's Juventus.
You know, as soon as when the news came out that he was getting interest from Juve, we were like, oh, don't go there. You're not going to get any playing time.
Right.
No one's going to respect you. You're American and all
that
stuff.
Pirlo's going to be a mess of a coach, you know?
The complete opposite. He was been there, what, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, you're the number one.
And also, did you hear Serginho Dest might go to either Barcelona or Bayern, depending on where, I think there's another player, where that player signs, he goes to the opposite team because they're both.
Yeah.
But there's a chance that Bayern Munich might have a full-on CONCACAF, like wingbacks. How wild is that?
It's going to be great. Yeah. Dude, just bring on, you know, just a Chicharito to Bayern or whatever.
Right. We got to get a Guatemalan center back. Let's wrap this thing up. Champions League.
So, no, it's going to be it was pretty wild. Just entertaining, and the fact that there's a lot to look forward to when it comes to 2022 and hopefully the men's national team make it into the World Cup. Hopefully it should be a breeze, because we got some starlets we need to that are shining right now.
Right.
Okay. Make sure to stick around later, because we have Sal Zizzo of San Diego Loyal and BSI, the podcast. So let's talk right now a little bit about the Premier League.
Oh, yeah.
That is now overtaken by the Toffees. Los Tofeteros.
That's
okay.
Right. It's different to hear you talk about Everton with a level of pride and excitement in your voice. It is shocking.
I usually start talking about it like I'm about to start a therapy session.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh, you want to know what happened this week? Well, where do you want to start?
Well, you know, people don't know this, but before we were a TV show or started filming these episodes, you would have to lay down to talk about Everton. I'd be there with a notebook, usually doodling, pretending like I'm listening to you.
Yeah, but that was it.
Completely different. I mean, what a difference a world-renowned coach and a couple of signings make. Right?
Hey, you know,
just a little couple changes.
You
here.
Just completely remove the midfield and replace it with a competent one. And
but also,
all of a sudden,
take out a guy named Big Dunk and you replace it with a coach who is coached in the Champions League. Right? What a difference.
Yes. Look, we talk about the first game, that 1-0 win against Tottenham, but against West Brom, Everton should beat West Brom, who just came back up from the Championship.
Let's also not forget a 10-man West Brom.
Yes, but they were also down 1-0 and still ended up winning, what, 5-2? Yeah, 5-2. Yeah. So for a goal from James Rodriguez, first Premier League goal. I don't know if you saw after the game, Everton fans, all the players were leaving, were driving away from the stadium, and an Everton fan ran up to him and gave him a bottle of wine. It was just the most uncomfortable. You could tell he didn't want to lower his window. He's like, I don't know what these Liverpudlians are going to be giving me. And he just handed him a bottle of wine and sent them off.
Well, in England, normally, if a fan is giving a player a bottle through a window, there's a rag sticking out of the top of it. You know what I mean? He's like, chill, fam.
It's not as polite.
Also, no. Giving him a bottle. I hope it's not English wine. What does that taste like? It's made with grains.
Just made it in his toilet.
Yeah,
you know?
It's mush. There's a little bit of sediment at the bottom.
No, but it's great to see the play so well. Also, we should talk about Leeds getting their first win. You know, they lost 4-3 in the first game against Liverpool. They won 4-3 in this match. It's going to be the scoreline.
Bielsa's dedicated to scoring more than the other team, who he's allowing to score a lot. That's the Leeds way. I put on Twitter, I was like, how y'all call Leeds if it's the one thing y'all can't hold? I mean, it's embarrassing, Don.
Yeah, there was a great tweet from Zito, our friend Zito, mm-hmm. the writer. He posted Bielsa's photo and basically put the quote, who told you to defend? Go and score another goal.
It's probably a direct translation to the halftime speech. It was wild. But it is, I mean, of all things we could say, what an incredibly fun brand of soccer, dude. Yeah. It is wild. They're like, look, we'll try to defend, but we're mostly here to try to attack.
Yeah, it's interesting because they don't really, when it comes to, they made some, I think Rodrigo was like the big signing, whatever, but he was the one who gave up the penalty like in the first game.
Right.
So they have like, for a championship side to kind of translate this well in the Premier League is a little bit surprising, right?
I will say there's been other teams that have come up in like the first four or five matches. They've been able to play their style and it's been translated directly. So I am a little worried to see how sort of Leeds is able to sort of hold it for a long stretch, especially now that they're basically going to start playing Wednesday, Saturday. I mean, Arsenal, which by the way, also at the top of the table. I know technically we're third, but on points, whatever. We're good. We're doing great. I mean, the last three wins have been against Liverpool, Fulham, and West Ham. So shouts to Arsenal. But if you look at sort of who they're playing or who they've come up, I forgot the point I was trying to. Oh, no, their next schedule. They've got Leicester in the EFL Cup on Wednesday. Then they got Liverpool on Monday. Then they got Sheffield United on Saturday. So it's like game now. All of a sudden,
Sheffield Wednesday on Thursday.
Oh my God, we got a team called Sheffield Thursday on Wednesday. This is just confusing. Why are we doing this to each other?
Players showing up on the wrong day. Like, I thought
wearing the wrong uniform. How did you put on Sheffield uniform?
I thought we were playing
uniform.
Sheffield Tuesday on Friday.
Y'all
my
got
bad.
Too many towns, dude.
Okay, you shouldn't be naming your towns after days, okay? Yeah. It's a little difficult.
So your team name is Leicester September 28th? You're serious.
Okay. All right. Wow, okay.
And we're playing you on the 26th. All right.
I guess I'll be there. I don't know what to do.
My head hurts, but I'll be there.
Yo, just make sure the ref sends me the Cal appointment, right? Because I don't know if
we share a Google Calendar? Is there an Evernote maybe I should be a part of? A Slack?
That's insane, man. But no, I think the biggest kind of surprises, obviously, Spurs was unreal. Son with 4 goals. Harry Kane with 4 assists.
I had Son on my fantasy league, fantasy team, and it still hasn't helped me get past 20th position.
No.
And Christian, I don't know if you know this, but We got masks made. Did you know that?
I do know that.
Look at yours. I just want to point this out. They're flying off the shelves. There are no shelves. They're flying off those virtual shelves. And the coolest thing is that this goes to charity. This goes to South Bronx United, which, if you don't know, it's a soccer academy slash community almost center. They do everything from handing out masks in the community to helping, immigrant, sort of legal help. They teach classes. Like, they teach a journalism class for the youth that play soccer with them. And they invited us to be a part of it, which was pretty cool. And the children were supposed to ask us questions. And the children were like, "Why?" One of the questions was like, "Why did they invite you? You're not a journalist." And I'm like, "That's a great question. You're already really good at this job."
Get to the truth, all right? Truth to power.
Wow, investigative journalist over here. Put a lot of pressure. Really cool.
Yeah, so you can pick up a hat. They were made at Upper 90, the soccer store.
Mask.
The mask, you know what I mean. Anyway, pick one up. Go to soccercooligans.com, and you can get the link for it. It's right there on the menu. So please support. All the proceeds will go to South Bronx United, and you'll be helping a very great cause. So pick up a mask and stay safe and stay gully. The other thing I wanted to let people know about was also we're not doing an unboxing per se, but it's definitely a reveal. We got a gift, all right?
Another illustrious
gift from the locals, right? Obviously, San Diego loyal supporters, right?
Card stock.
Is definitely
shake that a little bit. Look at that. Yeah. That's paper, right? It sounds like you have an aluminum sign.
They sent the scarf. They sent the shirt I'm wearing right here. Yeah. So shouts to the locals. So shouts to San Diego loyal supporters. I got a note here and printed. It's great. It says, "Cooligans, greetings from sunny San Diego, California." Not quite the way we wanted to spend 2020, but you two have made it fun and cool to follow American soccer as we all have to deal with the pandemic. Thank you for your hard work. Find a few gifts from the local supporter group enclosed. We won't say you'll look as sexy as our gaffer drinking from a water fountain wearing these, but it won't hurt. Next time you're in town, beer's on us. Welcome to the locals. Thank you.
That's right.
Shouts to you guys.
Which we had their coach. We had Landon Donovan on.
Correct. And obviously, drinking from the water fountain photo is difficult to top, but one day we will recreate
it. We'll get there.
So look, obviously we got a gift from the locals. We have a loyal player today, Sal Zizzo of San Diego Loyal of BSI the podcast will be joining us right after this. So come right back because you'd be crazy to miss the awesome conversation. So see you in a bit.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast, which I want to break it with a word from one of our sponsors, us, and us, technically you.
The Cooligans have now gotten into the mask game, okay,
right, everybody? We are big mask. That's the business we're in, baby.
Look, if you want to get, obviously, everybody, you need a mask. Wear a damn mask if you want to get over this dumb pandemic that is ruining all our lives. We decided, you know what, let's make one, and I think it'll be kind of cool if it has the Cooligans logo on it. It also says stay safe and stay gully right on it. You'll be the freshest, gulliest mask wearer in the world.
Everybody at that Wegmans or wherever you go in as they're dragging some maskless Karen out and you walk past them wearing this will be like, whoa.
Yeah, you're just like, with your Cooligans mask, you're just gonna be like, couldn't be me.
Okay. Nah, fam, I'm staying gully and safe. And here's the best part. 100% of the proceeds is going to go to charity. We are doing a collaboration with South Bronx United. They help the community in the South Bronx. They have a soccer academy. They do educational classes. They had a journalism class that Christian and I spoke at, and they were like, who are these two? They're not journalists. We know more than them. And I'm like, these kids say the darndest things. And also, they help out the community where they hand out masks. They do a lot of legal help for a community that could use all of those things, and we absolutely love all those things. We grew up in similar communities, so we wanted to give back. So 100% of the proceeds of this mask goes to that. And in fact, Upper 90, who has teamed up with us and is making the mask, actually gave us an even better deal so we could give even more to charity. So exactly. This would mean a lot to us if you would purchase this. Even if you didn't need an extra mask, it's worth having one, especially one that's as gully as this.
Exactly. So, you know, if you don't need one, give it to your child. Okay.
That's right.
They could use a nice gully mask while they're
put one on your
learning.
Puppy.
Okay. So pick one up. You can get them at soccercooligans.com. They are from Upper 90. They're a high quality mask. They you can wear them for a long time. They're really comfortable. Highly recommend it. Even if you don't need one, all the proceeds do go to charity. So you'll be supporting a very good cause in South Bronx United. You can see the description. The link will be in the description of this podcast episode. Or you can just go right to soccercooligans.com and the link will be there as well. So pick up a mask today.
All right, baby, and we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and our guest is finally here. This guy, we've talked to every one of his coworkers. We've talked to his coach, okay? We've pretty much, the only thing missing are his neighbors, all right? At this point, we can verify a lot about this dude, but we're so happy to finally have him on the show. If you have an MLS jersey in your closet, odds are he has one, too, that he didn't buy, because he probably played for that club, all right? But now he plays for the San Diego Loyal, ladies and gentlemen, let's try and put your hands together for the one, the only, Sal Zizzo!
Sal, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. Yeah, like what Alexis was mentioning, we obviously you are a man with a distinguished career. You played a lot of soccer overseas in the States and a lot of different states. but when it comes to like right now, you are currently a professional athlete and a podcaster.
Yes,
and so this has been a new introduction.
So now you're playing our game. What's up with that?
Okay. So this is, you know, now we're between our lines. Okay. Uh-huh. So now we run things out here.
A lot of two-footing going on out here, fam.
You know, we've spoken to Benny. We've spoken to Ike. And you are the person on the BSI podcast that probably gets maybe roasted the most, maybe, I think.
Yeah, they like to mess with me. Yeah. Just because they like me so much, you know.
All right. I
hope you're right.
What has been, you had an interesting path, right? Because you were done. You were retired. You were like, all right, let's do this podcasting thing. And then you're like, you know what? I'm not done. I'm going to go right back into this. And you were playing for the San Diego Loyal for head coach Landon Donovan. What is, now that you are doing that, is there any, I don't know, is it challenging? You know, you're a soccer player juggling all these things at once, or, you know, what drove you to come back and play?
Well, first of all, it was something always drove me to San Diego, right? I'm from here. I love it here. I always wanted to move back here. But as you guys know, California is a very expensive place to live. So, you know, post-playing career, when I was trying to figure out, you know, what was I going to do with my life, my wife has family in Las Vegas. So I was out there, you know, getting into real estate or just trying to figure out my life. I had some time on my hands. So that's when I kind of hit up Benny like, hey, let's start a podcast, you know. And then obviously I jumped in a few episodes later, but I would say like literally like a month or two into me like already buying a house, moving there, Landon messaged me like, hey, I want to talk to you about like something. And I was like, yeah, no problem. Sent him my number. Then probably a week after that, he called me and basically just, you know, told me the plans of that they were bringing a USL team to San Diego. And growing up, like I always wanted, you know, a professional team in San Diego. And I always talked about how great it would be if they ever did. I would, you know, come home in a second. I was like, I'm like the number one homer when it comes to San Diego, seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, when he told me that they were doing it and he'd like me to be a part of it, it was like, for me, it was like a no brainer, seriously. So, you know, he had mentioned before, like, is it going to, you know, it might be 2020 or it might be 2021. And I was like, either way, like I'm in. If I have to take 2 years off, I will. Like I'll come back.
If I'm 55 years old,
yeah,
I'll
yeah,
be
exactly.
There.
Yeah, I'll be ready. I'll be ready. So if it's 2024, I'm coming back. Literally just really focused on from then on, just trying to keep my body fit. Obviously not like going 100 miles per hour, but then as I started ramping up, like in November of 19. You know, to get ready for the preseason in January. And it was a great first game. It was really cool to at least get one game in front of friends and family before COVID hit. But that one game was pretty special to have like yeah, tons of friends and family, packed house at our stadium. And since then, it's been, you know, a bit of a grind, but, you know, we've won a lot of
Zoom,
games. Though.
A lot of people on Zoom.
A lot of Zoom.
when you look at San Diego, because this was the most, I've been to San Diego twice. I performed at the Comedy Store in La Jolla.
Okay.
It's a great place for stand-up. It's far enough from LA that you get a slightly different type of comic that comes down sometimes. So it gets a little bit of variety and it's a different crowd. The one thing that's so frustrating about San Diego, and in talking to you, I see it, and talking to Landon, I see it. Y'all are too relaxed, okay? Like I said, I was on stage, I said, this place is like Recess. If Recess became a city, that's San Diego. No one's working. It seems like everyone's off on a Tuesday riding bikes, yeah. Those beach
what
cruisers.
What is the economy?
It's booming down here. I don't know what's driving it, but it's booming. I will say you guys are obviously from New York, and so when I went there, I remember being in Jersey and be like, man, these people are pretty straight up. Like, there's no beating around the bush. They're just straight to the point.
Right to you.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. I don't like it. Move out of my way. Let me order my sandwich. Yeah. It's such a different place. But what do you think when I see – sometimes I see, like, professional athletes and where they're from. Like, I'm from this town and where, oh, it's aggressive and it's this and that. San Diego's such a chill place. What made you decide that you wanted to be a professional soccer player and not play hacky sack on the beach your whole life like everyone else seems to be doing?
Well, that's the economy.
I think that's all it is. I think that was the mayor I saw doing that.
No, so basically, I mean, yeah, I always kind of had that drive since I was young. You know, my family being Italian, you know, we're not necessarily like the typical San Diegan. You know, I have very aggressive uncles and always talking about how much the U.S. sucks at the national team and Italy's the best and this and that. And I was like that little 12-year-old, like, no, go USA, you know? So yeah, like come 2002, like that World Cup was like huge, like watching, you know, Landon and Beasley and all these young guys kind of really, you know, go to the quarterfinals that year in Korea. And that just kind of like sparked my, you know, really to push it. You know, and really kind of go for it. And then that, you know, year after year, you keep kind of progressing to the next level and you keep excelling at the next level. And then eventually, you know, you kind of just hit like this wave where you're just, you know, you're the next thing. And then suddenly you hit a wall and, you know, the whole kind of path that goes kind of crazy. But no, being from San Diego, I am a relaxed person. People will tell you that I'm pretty chill. So, but soccer's kind of brought, I mean, you can't be like that, right? In professional soccer, you have to really, you know, be aggressive and not take
especially
shit
as a
from
defender,
anyone, I guess.
As a defender, you can't be bringing
that.
Yeah,
well, no, so know? I was a winger, like, really most of my life until I moved to defender. But, and to be honest, I think part of that mentality actually kind of hurt me when I first turned pro, like, in Germany. I was too nice. I was too like relaxed and just kind of let people kind of just do what they wanted and talk to me a certain way. And I'd be like, yeah, no problem. Yeah. We're like,
someone's like, guys, I'm taking your spot on the team. Exactly. You're like, whatever you want, dude. Yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, man, there's 11
just chill
spots.
Out, man.
I'll find another one.
No, but like you look at a guy like Tyler Adams or like some of these young guys, like they're not taking that from anyone at this age, you know, which is really cool to see. And now I'm not like that, but you know, I would say at a young age, it took a while for me to kind of, you know, develop that side of my personality.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine some dude in USL talking down to you. You crazy?
No. Yeah,
about to get mushed.
And they love to talk at this level. I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
They love to talk. So,
yeah. We talk about your career a little bit. And you had played at Hanover in Bundesliga. And this club is dear to us because we got to spend a lot of time with Steve Cherundolo. Obviously, played at Hanover his whole career, USMNT. Legend, great dude,
German legend at this point.
Yes, yeah. Right. Yeah. And but you got to play with him, right? So you got to be there while he was at the club. And we were talking a little bit off air about this, about just how important he is to this club. And it's like it's weird to think of. I think because maybe at the time, you know, when he got there, you know, maybe social media wasn't as prevalent. You just didn't really understand that exactly how significant of a figure he was.
Nah, he was killing it on MySpace. Y'all didn't see that. His top eight were all Germans.
That's true. He knew what he was doing. Okay. But your time at Hanover and playing with Steve Cirundolo, what was that experience like in joining another, kind of national team player?
Yeah. I mean, they call him the mayor of Hanover. Like, he's arguably maybe the most recognizable Hanover player, not like US player or whatever, just like in the actual city of Hanover, he's the most recognizable player. So it was huge. I mean, when I got there, I was 20, he was 28. He had already been with the club, I don't know, 7-8 years. And he was also from San Diego. And I think that honestly had a part with me even signing there, you know, having that comfort that, there was someone that can kind of show me the ropes, help me out, someone who's had a lot of success in the Bundesliga and played in World Cups already at the time. And he's a legend, and he really did help me out a ton when I was there.
What's it like having someone that you could speak to on a daily basis? Because you've already said Landon just messaged you, yo, can we talk? That's never happened to us, you know? Every once in a while, Christian messages me. I'm like, oh, look, I know this guy. But what's that like having these folks throughout your career that you've been able to sort of not just look up to, but look up to and then be able to pull some guidance from?
Yeah, it's everything. I mean, these guys have, you know, reached the pinnacle that most U.S. soccer players have not reached. And so, you know, getting little hints at how they're professional or how they act is just a huge help on, you know, to help you grow, you know, as a player. And, taking little, even just listening to them, not even asking them questions, but just hearing how they interact with certain guys and, how serious they take training and, just a ton of little things that you pick up on. And that's that at a young age, I think it really kind of propels you. And then, you know, then you're able to kind of pass that on to some other younger players, which is kind of what I feel like, I'm doing a bit now with a lot of our San Diego Loyal young players.
Yeah, I think for comedians, it's a little different, but every once in a while, we'll get advice from bigger comics. So like, oh, Dave Chappelle said this to me, or Roy Wood Jr. said this to me. And if I say that in a green room to younger comics, everyone's like, and I'm like, oh, look at this. It's almost like I said it, you know, that's pretty cool.
No, I get what you mean. Yeah, no, it's totally true. I mean, that's, you know, and even today, like you just see the respect that like the players on our team have for a guy like Landon. You know, when he talks, it's like everyone's like, okay, what is he going to say? Like, let me take what he says with, and really try to apply it. So.
But as a guy who, you know, played against him, are you like, yeah, whatever, but, you know, I did stop you when you were at the Galaxy a couple of times. I don't know what.
No,
he wasn't that good, guys.
To be honest, like, Landon's always been a guy where you're kind of like, wow, what a career, what a legend. I mean, it's the Landon Donovan MVP trophy for the MLS. So, he was always kind of a figure that you were pretty much in awe of at the start. Now, you know, obviously you get to know him on a personal level and as a coach. So it's a little bit different. But like, I remember when I got called into my first national team camp, and seeing some of these guys, like I said, that I watched in 2002 in that World Cup at my house, waking up at, I don't know, 6 a.m. for those games back then, and then walking into camp and then, you know, flying on the same plane back with Beasley or saying hi to all these guys or making my debut. Like, it was a surreal moment and something like I'll always remember for sure.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about like surreal moments. You went from Hanover 96, you got loaned out to Fortuna Dusseldorf, which we went to. So awesome. They have a hotel built into the stadium. It's kind of dope. And then you went and you decided to come home and you're now at Chivas USA. At what point did you realize you wanted to go back to Germany?
It was so I had come to Chivas in a weighted lottery, right? So that was, I don't know if they even still do that nowadays, but
they shortened it from weighted against you.
Yeah, it was like, so it's a bit, so like now it's like if a guy comes back, there's an allocation process and whatnot, but I hadn't played, I played up until that one game, which is my only game with the U.S. national team. So I'm not considered a national teamer. So I went into a weighted lottery, which literally gave, everybody some type of percentage chance to get me. Obviously being, at home recovering from my knee injury in San Diego, I was like, okay, like let's see where I go. You know, it was kind of a cool moment. And then being that it was Chivas USA,
I was like, redo it.
At first, yeah. At first, I was like pumped. I'm like, you know, close to home, like, right? Close to home. At that time, they had a bit of success up until that point. You know, they had Bob Bradley was a Preki.
Sasha Kleshton was kind of
yeah,
still there,
Sasha
right?
was, yeah. I think he had just left. But okay. Sasha was there. You know, Bornstein was there, who I played with in college. You know, they had a good group of guys. And then, obviously, I went there, and it didn't – that year didn't end well. You know, I was still recovering from my knee injury. I think I played in 10 of those games when I came back in July, so the second half of the season. But, yeah, it was just – that season was a struggle. And, yeah, like you said, like the club was different, and it wasn't, you know, the top club in the MLS, the way things are run there, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it was hard. And then that next year, Robin Fraser became the coach, and I didn't have a great preseason. And then he traded me to Portland. And to be honest, yeah, that was a blessing, because I feel like I loved Portland. The fans really liked me. I just kind of embraced the culture there. And really, that was, I would say that was maybe the time where I really started playing significant minutes, you know, as a professional.
Okay. Yeah. We had a question from, because your time in Portland, we had a question from one of our fans, a Gully Squad member, Eric Keating. He had asked, outside of your amazing food cart, of course, because obviously Zizzo's FC. So this was, you had a food cart in Portland, correct?
Yeah. So yeah, the food, I'm sure you guys have been there, but the food cart scene there in Portland is pretty, pretty famous. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was a place I would go grab lunch maybe or whatever. Yeah, Eric, I saw it and I was...
Eric did ask, will you ever get back into the food cart scene?
who knows? But I will say I thought about it being back here in San Diego, because, you know, I have family restaurants in Little Italy and whatnot. And I was kind of talking to them, throwing around the idea of, oh, maybe I'll bring a cart out to the, you know, the parking lot maybe before a Loyal game
Zizzle's,
or something like that.
But. Zizzo's marijuana food truck. Let's go.
Yo. Yeah. Zizzo's.
It's California, right?
Adult meatballs. All right. They're so good. Trust me, you're going to want another one. You know what I mean? I've already written it for you, buddy.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So I mean, yeah, we'll talk to the upper management about that one. But
all right. Get landed on board.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the BSI podcast. Because when you get in this podcast game, I'm sure you're like, oh, why is this so much more difficult than playing soccer? This is clearly a different person's game, and I should probably get out of it. But you guys are very good at what you do. Talk about some of the sort of additional stress this has brought on your life, although you guys have editors and stuff. Very fancy. We don't. And a question from Kyle Knight, our Gully Squad, which is, As Christian mentioned, that's our supporters group. Okay, Gully Squad. Shouts to Gully Squad. If you want to ask a question, join Gully Squad. But Kyle Knight says, what's been your favorite interview of BSI? So tell me a little bit about what it's like now being a part of this podcast. How is it corralling Benny and Ike? Who's been your favorite interview so far?
So I'll start with that. My favorite interview so far was, I mean, probably just the Will Ferrell one. Because of who he is, we were probably... I was the most excited, the most nervous, the most, you know, everything for that one. We've had really cool ones that all of them have kind of been good for their own reasons. You know, Alan Gordon's, you know, I thought was very funny.
I listened to that one.
Yeah,
yes.
So there was a ton of really good ones. And then just talking to some friends, you know, Mike Gorella, you know, Sasha, a lot of these guys that, you know, I'm close with. It was a pretty easy conversation to have with them. But yeah, Will Ferrell, I would say, was the most fun.
For our fans, we're still efforting. We're still trying to get Will on our show. He has not returned any of our communications. But no, nice flex. Go ahead. What was the rest of your answer? We're going to cut this all out.
Guys,
right, guys?
So who you guys have?
You right now, because you brought up Will Ferrell.
I'd say the hardest thing is that finding just the time. Obviously, like, I got three girls. You know, coordinating with Benny and Ike to find a time along with the guest. Yeah. You know, you kind of figure out a schedule, like, let's do it every Monday night at a certain time, which has helped. But just that's been the hardest, you know, it's just the time aspect, right? I mean, and then at the start, you feel like you're doing it. And then you figure like, okay, this is great entertainment, but nothing's really happening. You know, we're just interviewing people and taking up a lot of our time. And then obviously the more you stick it out, the more it grows, the more people listen, then obviously the advertisements come and, and you guys are, have experienced that throughout your kind of run here. Yeah. So, I would just say that the hardest part is just staying course, right? It's the ones that stick with it and you just got to keep going and keep going. And then those are the ones that I think are going to be around in the end.
A couple months ago, I had a phone call. I had a phone conversation with Benny. Conversation with Benny Fehlhaber, which was already surreal that I'm speaking to Benny Fehlhaber on the phone, and he's asking me like, "Hey man, how do you like?" He wanted podcast advice, and I'm "Where has my life gone?"
You think about it, right? I mean, we were at a moment that you guys had already probably been through, and so. Yeah. For us, it was kind of like, to learn from maybe somebody else's mistakes or what do you wish, you guys would have done differently. And so, we had talked about actually reaching out to you guys and seeing kind of the path you guys took and what you would change maybe. And
it was smart of you to talk to Christian, because if you would have talked to me, I would have given you all bad advice.
You'd have been like, just stop tomorrow.
Dude, you guys should start like, just yell terrible slurs at the beginning of every episode. It ruins your show.
Try to get Del Loy Hansen on your show and really
get him a little drunk and let's just see what he says. Yeah.
Just make sure you agree and support him, because that's what you do as a podcast host. Okay. The other thing I wanted to ask about was you played in 2015 for a couple of years. You were at New York Red Bulls, and that's when I first got really started focusing on MLS, because I started
even though he trained with NYCFC.
Okay.
never did train. No, literally the trade. So I went from the expansion draft, and then literally within like I don't know. A few out like that night, I got traded.
Oh, okay.
So I was actually on a cruise when I found out, and I was like telling my wife, like, "What do you think of New York City?" Like all pumped up, and then and then my agent just messaged me like, "Nah, you were just traded." Nah, he didn't tell me where though, and so I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, let me go log on to this like $2 a minute internet to find out where I'm, off to next. And when he said New York Red Bulls, I was like, okay, I can take it. It's still New York, basically.
So when you were there, and you were, if I remember correctly, you were part of the 7-0, right?
I was. Yeah, okay. Played in that game right back. Yeah.
Yes, and we made jokes. We've spoken to Dax. We've spoken to Derek Etienne. So we're like piecing it all together, all the different perspectives. Your time, what were those Hudson River derbies like for you? Because obviously as fans, obviously it hurt us to witness a game like that.
You hurt us, Sal.
So we are here, frame it as an apology in your answer.
Nah, like those games were always like super cool. I think that year, like we had, we had come off a good first year where we had beaten New York City. I think the first two times we played them and those were like really exciting games. And then we started off that year like struggling, and we had a few crisis meetings, which everybody has those meetings at some point in their career.
Who leads those? Is it Robles leading those crisis meetings?
It's usually the coaches or whatnot. But we had those. But then if those don't work, then it gets to the coaches. You know what I mean?
Okay, okay.
Usually it's like, okay, players only first. And then once that doesn't work, then it's like, then the GMs start coming down and start having talks with you. So, I think it had got to the GM point. So even
because
like,
you weren't with them during the town hall year.
I was. So right when town hall happened was my first year there. So that next year, though, coming off such a good year, we won Supporters Shield that year before, went to the conference finals and and then we started off the year, pretty poorly. I think, 1-6 or something not great. And so Ali Curtis was the GM at the time, and he, sat us down and had a pretty stern talking to. And I think it was only like a few, maybe two or three games after that was that 7-0 game. So it was a much needed, like...
Fixes everything, kind of, huh?
Yeah, I mean, and to do that against a rival, like, in a game that... you know, it meant so much more than just the 7-0 against any old team. It was kind of like, well, we're better than you, and we're better than you 7-0. So, and the players they had on their team, you know, Pirlo and Lampard and Villa. Yeah. It was definitely my most memorable game of my career, I would say, like from a perspective of what it meant. No,
okay. Yeah, it's the most memorable game of my career. It hurt me very much.
Still paying a therapist about it. We
a quick question. Maybe we'll see how quick we can get through this. Nick Leishman, a Rebel fan, he had asked, "Tell us your strangest Gonzalo Verón story." Gonzalo Verón, obviously designated player for New York Rebels, didn't have a great time. Very
designated
weird
player, I think. I'll say
that. Yeah, a Gonzalo story. I'm trying to think. He was a very, very quiet guy. I will say, I remember my wife telling me a story that after a game, you know, she's not accustomed to this, but I don't know if it's in South America, they do this often, but basically, like, the wife was pouring Coke or like Pepsi cool. inside like a baby bottle and like giving it to the kids. And I just remember thinking like, whoa, that's, you know, not the healthiest thing to give a 1-year-old, but in South America, I think it's Coke's a little bit more like, you know, whatever. So
it's baby's milk.
There's like an 11-year-old Argentinian smoking a cigarette, drinking a Coke. And he's like, oh, you have a problem with the Coke?
He's got an espresso next to him. Yeah. Or as mate, I guess you would say mate, right? Okay. No, so that, but I mean, Gonzalo, he was a pretty quiet dude. And honestly, for probably as much stress as he was going under, just from all the pressure that was on him, because he was a DP and everything, I think he handled it pretty well. I mean, it's probably not easy coming to a different country and having so much expectations on you. But he did score some pretty big goals. Like, he scored a goal in that 7-0 game and helped us in that Open Cup run to the finals that one year. So, yeah, I can see in the eyes of a lot of Red Bulls how maybe, you know, he was a bit of a letdown, but in the locker room, he was a good dude for sure.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you again to everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Sal, Zizzo, for joining us. Thank you to the locals out in San Diego for sending us all this dope gear.
I can't wait till Christian gives me the gear that you sent for me.
I did. You have it, Alexis.
Anyway. I got to go find it.
Okay, everybody. So, thank you again. Sal, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
No, thanks for having me. Yeah, check out BSI, the podcast. You know, we're taking the month of September off, but we'll be back at it in October. So check it out.
Okay, yeah, great, great shows. Yeah, you guys just did the Eric Winalda episode, which was...
Yeah, we ended on that one for a few weeks now, and we'll pick it back up.
Okay, nice. So check out the BSI podcast. Check out Sal playing for the San Diego Loyal as well. Yeah, whenever, absolutely. Hopefully, we can
ESPN Plus, most games.
Check it out. All right, so make sure you follow @SoccerCooligans on all social media platforms. Follow us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/SoccerCooligans. We do a bunch of fun stuff there. And follow @FuboSports and also subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. All right, Sal. Let us wrap the show the way we normally do. So let's do this. Please join in with us. So for Sal Zizzo, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!